If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
In the light of the most radiant one, I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is Star Trek, more fact than fiction. I'm going to be covering the topics of Star Trek, Confederation fleets, the non-fallen sons of God, and also describing what it was like for me to come in as a child with fully conscious galactic memory. So take a deep breath. Bring yourself forward in your galactic heritage or lineages to the all the divine coordinates that you carry in light and sound. Bring it through your body, anchor it through your feet into the soul star in the center of the earth. Expand in your vastness and transmute on the periphery of your aura through the violet flame any misqualified energy. Tonight you will have all coercive implanting devices removed entirely from your consciousness, if any exist, and if you ask now. We as a command will be very vigilant tonight, and all of our listeners will have a complete clearing if that is what you consciously ask now. Deep breath. Done. And we ask that be sealed and that the minds that have been delivered to us now be freed forevermore, free to make their own choice without any coercion. You know, a few days ago, Hollywood went bananas with the premiere of the first screening of Star Trek, the movie. And the attendance was ginormous. So in honor of the Star Trek premiere, the History Channel aired, oh gosh, maybe 3 hours of documentary looking back over the past 40 years or so of the original Star Trek and the subsequent incarnations of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and so forth. There were interviews with the cast members, both past and present, and the reactions and the ramifications in science, in inventions, in the media, in the consciousness of people, the impact which ricocheted through every substratum of life. I was amazed because during that time when Star Trek was such a hot item, I was either on the road traveling or I didn't have TV or I didn't watch TV. So I never paid too much attention to Star Trek. I mean, I saw an episode here and there. And, I mean, I live Star Trek. I come directly from the real Star Trek, the real Starfleet Command, and I never had any veil that convinced me otherwise. I came in fully awake, fully conscious, and have just expanded on that awareness with actual names for the faces that I've loved and known since I was a little child. So I want to get into that tonight. So I was watching, for example, something that I was just really blown away by was the inventions in science that directly trace to an inspiration derived from a Star Trek episode. For example, like the ion propulsion systems that are used by NASA. The Jet Propulsion Lab, the SETI program, you know, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, the NASA program of the, you know, the craft that they actually call the Enterprise, and the many tricky careers that were spawned and inspired by kids watching Star Trek. I had no idea so many of the, you know, the modern-day inventions that we take for granted now were actually inspired by inventors that wanted to duplicate what they saw in Star Trek. Like, for example, our cell phones, modern medical CAT scans, third-dimensional imagery, non-invasive diagnostic medical procedures, computers, computer software. My gosh, the list goes on, but most of all, it permanently entered the mass media and pop culture as a very positive and plausible future. And I think that's the greatest blessing, as it gave us hope. And because it's based on more fact than fiction, we believed it. We actually took it on board because part of us knew, you know what, this is really, it's like that somehow, some way. We knew it was like that. And more children dreamed of being space captains and commanders and Starfleet cadets, and more awakened and decoded their genetic galactic heritage as star beings, and dreamed of entering that realm of space exploration that they somehow knew existed out there somewhere. So I was thrilled. And moreover, the philosophy that was espoused in Star Trek of unity of purpose amidst vast diversity and the acceptance of racial and cultural amalgamations, doing a segue for a moment, I think we all absolutely love the scene in Star Wars of the bar, you know, the intergalactic bar, where all these different kinds of beings that are in there. It was marvelous. It caught our fantasy. And that's one scene you just never forget. So this cultural embracement of difference and harmonious coexistence was highlighted in every single show, I think, without exception, particularly in the old series. So it boldly introduced themes of interracial acceptance and interracial romance. During the years, the documentary pointed out that racial issues were a big, big problem, and tensions were running high. I didn't realize that. So there was this introduction of the ideas that, you know, our differences are really not that much. We pretty much all want to coexist and exist and be validated and honored and respected for how we choose to live our life, bottom line. So vastly different worldviews and value systems and intergalactic statesmanship and diplomacy and the councils of light and the elder master souls from other universes, all of that was introduced through Star Trek. So the reason that Star Trek caught, I think, and sustained so much interest to so many people was because it was positive, and it showed a loving universe and a loving future and open-ended exploration, open-ended adventure, and positive opportunities of life and space in loving harmony, in peaceful coexistence, and with advanced races who already were living in such a manner eons ago. And have, in a way, come back from the future, like myself, to say, you know what? This is your future, humanity. That's my message. You know, everything I do, I herald that message. I have come back in time to give specifically this message. I've come back 3,500 years back from the future in time. And that's why I have this knowing that that isn't something I've studied or read or been taught. It's something I was born with. And it's just descended more and more. It's come in three distinct soul aspect overlays, which are like future self walk-in overlays where I incarnated my essence sequentially over my whole life. And many of you have too. So when I talk about myself, know that I'm never just talking about myself. I'm talking about us, all of us. And this is a knowing we can all embrace of and move into if we choose. So anyway, something that was not spoken of in the history program, back in the, sometime in the 80s, I think maybe mid-80s, somebody gave me a book called The Raw Material, R-A, like Ra, you know, the Egyptian Ra, R-A, Ra. And it was a book of absolutely superb interdimensional transmissions from a space, obviously space beings. Now that I think of it, they no doubt were of the Ashtar Command, or at least the Confederation fleets, because of the quality of the transmissions. And Gene Roddenberry, and I understand, I think it was his daughter as well, regularly attended these transmissions or channeled sessions with these people who were very, very devoted to bringing forward the most absolutely pristinely pure transmissions possible. They went to great lengths to really prepare themselves and be in a receptive condition to receive the highest transmissions. Space transmissions are difficult to receive in accuracy because they're very, very high vibration. You have to have a very strong nervous system to bring forward really pure transmissions. And they did. And this is what influenced Gene Roddenberry in bringing forward so much of this very, very accurate information. It was accurate information. And the Ashtar Command inspired many of the ideas and script scenarios. So basically, bottom line, Star Trek is far more fact than fiction. I think we all knew that anyway. So I had a couple questions that inspired my show tonight. the first person said, is Star Trek, the TV series, in any way based upon reality? Is there a real Starfleet like the Ashtar Galactic Command? Or did the Ashtar Command somehow inspire the writers of the Star Trek series? And, of course, the answer to both of those is yes. Star Trek, in every way, is based upon reality. And, yes, the Ashtar Command did inspire many of the scripts and is embodied as many of the ground crew, you know, the screenwriters and the people who produce many of these things are actually members of the Ashtar Command, and they may or may not know that. So the second question is, I've heard you mention the non-fallen Sons of Light and the Confederation under the jurisdiction of the Divine Throne Realms. What exactly does that mean? And who is a non-fallen Son of God? I've heard you refer to Ashtar as such. What is that? So, okay, let me see if I can get into this. Excuse me. Okay, basically there are two programs seen operating through the human race and inferred throughout the scriptures. You really need to read all scriptures as if you were reading about galactic programs and galactic races. The Bible, the Book of Enoch, the Apocryphal, the intertestamental texts, they didn't make it into the finished Bible. You got to go there, the Gnostic scriptures, the Gospel of Thomas, Mary, many others, the Essene, the Nazarene. There's so many sects that speak of the Sons of Light and the Sons of Belial, or the Sons of Rebellion, as they're called. Jesus was quite frank in addressing the Sons of Belial as a brood of vipers. That's interesting. He called them snakes. So the entire Bible needs to be read, not so much as a religion, but as a galactic guidebook. So the often allegorical stories are factual extraterrestrial events of immense universal and galactic proportions. A battle which at one time engulfed the entire sun systems, like our own Earth sun system. And we're familiar again with this marvelous series of Star Wars. And again, it's based more on fact than it is fiction. So begin to look at some of these things with a little bit different mindset and then apply them to some of our current, for example, Bible beliefs that we have, begin to expand it beyond the religious into programs of consciousness. So the sons of God, the non-fallen sons of God, never rebelled nor disobeyed El Shaddai, the Almighty One, or Metatron, is another name that's used, Melchizedek, the Ancient of Days, the Father of Eternal Life and Light, Abba Ner Pumit. These are all names that were taken out of the scriptures for some reason, to where we just have God and Lord God and Most High. And all of the other names, which actually are consciousness thresholds, if you will, to the higher divine throne realms, they were removed. So there's been a great admixture of energies that have gone into trying to suppress and head off at the pass any truth that could get into the human mind in many cases. So the non-fallen sons of God never partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but stayed in the garden of the tree of life, in the case of those who did not incarnate on earth. But the fallen ones were cast onto the earth, and, you know, that's why we have this mixed bag down here. So the non-fallen ones refused. They had no hand in creating artificial intelligence through genetic alteration, manipulation, and implants. And the genetic alteration that the fallen ones instituted was spliced into the human DNA with a removal of that quotient which enabled a direct connection with a higher consciousness. And then the consciousness was programmed by the fallen ones, the Nephilim, to create a subservient slave race. So our entire Earth system became the battleground where the great battle between light and dark, good and evil, has been waging ever since. It was upon the astral plane until about the mid-period of Atlantis, the Atlantean root race, which I understand lasted about 150, I think it's a million years. It's a very long root race. Anyway, during that time is when the so-called fall took place. And the planet, the higher axis was barred completely so that we just were locked into recycling the reincarnation and the karma by the dark lords. And that was why the office of the Christ had to send in the Messiah, Christ Jesus, so that the infinite way could be opened again to the higher divine throne realms. So I have spoken about that on other shows, so I won't get into that again in this show. But the Earth is a dust world. It's called a dust world that hardened into limited gravitationally entrapped light. It's a harsh and brash light of the carnal or ego mind. And it was created and engineered genetically, and it brings in technology, mind-based technology, rather than limitless light, technology of light. So it's always the nuts and bolts, mechanical kind of approach to things, rather than things that are orchestrated through the spirit. So an example of entrapped light, you'll enjoy this one, is the light bulb. Do you know, do you realize that a lot of diseases came onto our planet? According to one of the masters, the Master Moria, said that light bulbs, with the invention of the light bulb, which entrapped light, many diseases entered our planet. And that during the time when fire, living fire, was used, in the olden times they would surround a sick person with flame, candle flame, and it would burn off the effluvia, the psychic effluvia, the negativity that causes, builds up in the aura. It's called AMA, or AMA, in the Ayurvedic system. It's that congestion, that effluvia that builds up in the centers and causes disease. disease. Anyway, fire is a counteractive and purifier of that particular condition. So we of the sons of God are of Ein Sof Or, the limitless light. We're of divine awareness. We're of non-localized beingness, non-limited by time, space, energy, dense matter, condition, mind, entropy, or death, or beyond all of that. We're of limitless existence, life, eternal. We live in continual centropy, which is the electrification directly from spirit into the cells of our being. We exist in unconditional awareness, in whole light. We're whole light beings, not limited. We're birthless, deathless, eternal, conscious, consciously living in unified oneness with Source. Now, those of us that come into the Earth system through incarnation, or in my case, coming into a past time cell embodiment envelope, i.e. my body, of course, we have the brain, and inside the brain is the reptilian brain. Hello. And you have what's called a carnal mind, which the scriptures say is always in enmity towards God. It's always got a knee-jerk reaction of rebellion fixed in with it. That's how you can tell a person who is still operating under the fallen mind, is that the minute you would say something like the Bible or Jesus or reverence to God or obeying God or wanting to live in accord with God, any one of those things will cause an immediate knee-jerk resistance. I've had people that get so angry, well, I'm my own master. I don't need to be saved. I don't believe in God. You know, I'm my own God. You'll hear that kind of rhetoric coming from people who are under that, the curse, if you will, of this altered fallen mind, which is a program that was inserted between your knowing of yourself as a divine son of God and that ability to connect into it and bring it down into a living reality in your physical body. And when that happens, that's called being born again into the new life in spirit. And when that happens, the past is erased, and you are reinstituted, reintroduced into the divine tree of life. And you start with a new life from then on. You have a new heart, a new mind, a new life. And that's why it's so important to receive that gift, which, again, I've spoken of many, many times, so I won't go into it again. But usually life beats you up until you get to the point that you your ego backs up for a second and gives God that wiggle room to come in and to bring that answer to, really, the prayer that you cry out in your moments of desperation, which is help, you know. There's got to be something more than this, you know, what we call life down here. So cruelty and a lack of conscience actually is the very indicator of a person who is under that fallen spell, that fallen program. I know you've wondered, as I have, why certain people here on Earth seem to relish evil and delight in causing pain and wreaking violence and destruction, and they seem to have no inclination to revere, love, or even acknowledge the existence of God. So that cruelty goes hand in hand with ignorance of who you are as love, and the very trademark of the sons of rebellion that are incarnated in such great abundance upon Earth is this lack of conscience, this lack of ability to empathize and have compassion and kindness, you know, the spirit of loving kindness. So as it says in the scriptures, God is love, and we are known as people of God by our love, period. So that is basically the so-called original sin, or missing the mark, is the curse that came upon mankind with the fall. And the fall, of course, was instituted by the reptilian, draconian, alpha draconis races that came in and required then the intervention of the office of the Christ, the redemption, salvation, restoration, and resurrection of the human life way through the ministry of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. Well, the Sons of Rebellion were cast down upon the earth, where to this day they continue sowing their bitter seeds of hatred and ill will. It's interesting, many of these people are called by certain ones the Illuminati. But you see, the illumination they possess is of the ego mind. It's not the illumination of a son of God, like a Buddha or Krishna or Jesus the Christ, or any number of the great sons of God and daughters of God that come through the office of the Christ. They all have the divine mind. They don't have the intellect mind. So this creating of havoc and war and destruction is what they desire, because their main agenda is to influence as many human minds as possible to keep them ignorant and entrapped so they can be the sheeple, you know, not the sheep of the shepherd, but the sheeple that don't think for themselves. They just kind of numb out in front of the boob tube and go along with whatever the program is that the Illuminati want to, influence them in doing. Mainly, keep them away from anything that would enlighten them. That's the main agenda. So, this calling, the other thing they do is that they call evil good, and then they call good evil, until mankind is so completely confused, it gives up and numbs out. So that's why you need to really check everything that you want to take into your consciousness as a belief system. Your job is to check it out. Examine whatever you hear, because nothing here on this earth is unmixed. Everything is like mixed up, and everything is tainted with the fallen programs. So you have to pick very carefully and choose very carefully. You can't just take a thought system and swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You have to kind of take many, many things. I take a buffet approach to finding things that work for me in my spiritual diet, because that's kind of what you need to do. Discern, pick, and choose. Don't get stuck in any particular venue without thinking to where you just put your mind on hold. So you will know what it is by the fruit, the works, be they of love or not, because pure love is truth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this pure truth, this love, arises within the pure heart that loves God with every ounce of its being, and all mankind has its very self. And what did Jesus say? But those were the two most important of all of the commandments. In fact, they fulfilled all of the commandments. You don't need the law when you have grace. And when you live in love, you live in grace. You're no longer under the law. So here are some of the very keynotes that you can tell the difference between the positive extraterrestrials, the lords of light, or the whole light beings, or the ultra-terrestrials, as they're called, and those who are the hybrid races, the ET races, the admixtures that are not in the Adam Kadmon or the divine image and similitude. So let's start with the negative ones, and then we'll go into the positive so that we'll have the positive in our mind. The negative ETs, the fallen ones, will use the technology of mind mechanics. They have form-dependent technologies. They are the lords of form, so everything for them has to be concrete. They they come from all different various systems, but the ones probably that are most familiar to us come from Alpha Draconis and the fallen areas of Orion, fallen areas of the Sirian system, fallen areas of the Pleiadian system, Tuban and Polaris, and there's different systems out there that they come from. Some of them from the fallen levels of Mars. I don't want to get too much into that because they're from many places. Again, it's not so much where a person's from as what they do, because redemption is possible for anyone, and many have actually been re-spliced into the tree of life already. So, you know, again, nobody's stuck, you know, irrevocably into any program. There's always the redemption process that can take place with any being. So they're very much into anything that is coercive, controlling, manipulative. They do not believe in any form of free will. They use implants, coercion, control, domination. Their main agenda is power, subjection, and acquiring domain. They're territorial. They want more domain, more power, and more governance over beings. They want submissive subjects, programmed to obey, and again, with no free will. So they have a consciousness that is either like a hive, like a insect hive, or computerized, or group mind, like the Borgs, for example. The Borgs on Star Trek are a very good example of that kind of consciousness. And it's artificial. Again, it's mechanistic, it's artificial. And by the way, the word that we have, tyrant, comes from the Tyrantor system that was actually taken over by a computer like HAL in 2001, that it developed so much power it actually took over and subjected the entire planet to its domination. So again, computers can get out of hand. They can become too powerful. They can take over a planet, take over people, robots. Again, scary stuff, because we can give over our power to mechanics and lose the living light that we are designed to embody. So with the fallen programs comes death, disease, chaos, and entropy. Entropy is when there's no electrification of the cells. And so these races always suck energy. They suck emotional energy. They feed on emotional unrest, discord, disharmony, war. They drink blood. That's why they extract the blood serum from animals and, I won't get into that, but you know what I'm talking about. So they're vampirical in the sense they will always vampirize someone who has life, who has energy, who has light. And they always leave you disempowered and drained, just drained. So in these races, there's no understanding, no heart, no empathy, no ability to put themselves in your shoes. They're cold, hard, controlled, harsh, violent, and cruel. And thank God, Jesus conquered them utterly and completely 2,000 years ago with his work on the cross. Because if he had not come at that time, there would have been no hope for us at all. We would be still under the dominion of these dark forces forever. So they work with limited light. They have light, but they don't have the living word. They don't have the sound current, the word of God, because that is what lifts you beyond the psychic and the material realms into ecstasy and bliss and adoration. You see, they can't conceive what it is to adore and worship God. They have no ability to do that. And it's because they have no contact with their soul, with their higher principle. Now, the technology of light is of the positive sons of God, the non-fallen ones. And even though we may be in human incarnation, we still have a natural tendency to turn to the light. We have to battle with that reptilian part of the consciousness and brain, but the light always wins. And we have a natural gravitation to things that are of the light and of God and of goodness and grace and love and kindness. So ultimately, people of that nature will gravitate into something that will enlighten and awaken them. So ours is much more having to do with quantum physics, quantum mechanics, energy directions, Merkaba, light transporter, energy, nanotechnology, and it's heart-centered, always heart-centered and love-centered. UFOs as mechanistic travel devices are not necessary. We utilize a light body, which is birthed from divine adoration and your connection, your aspiration rising to God, and that divine descension of grace converge and form your Merkaba of light or your light body. So this represents itself in the angelic legions, like the legions of Michael and Uriel and Raphael and Yophael and Gabriel and, of course, Mikael. We're all familiar with Archangel Michael. And the Confederation Starfleets, the Orion Jerusalem Command, the Ashtar Galactic Command, the Fleets of the Solar Cross, these are all representations of the higher consciousness that comes. Generically, we're called a Confederation Fleets. We're a united amalgamation of peaceful worlds, worlds that have become sacred in the sense that they have unified themselves with their divine component, and they live in accord with the great, 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 great central sun system magistrates or the divine throne realms under the most radiant one, which of course is Christ Emmanuel, Jesus, and Christ Mikael. So we work with the living light and the living word embodied within as the Son of God, which is of course the Christ within you, your hope and glory. And we operate through centrifuge, the electrification of the Holy Spirit, which vivifies and resurrects the carbon-based matter into silicone light body, so that you're in the transformative process as you, you drink of the Spirit, drink of the living word, drink of the bread of, eat of the bread of life, and drink of the waters of life, which is the Christ consciousness. You transcend death and you move eventually into immortal life. And whether you drop your body in death or not for a while longer, you still will inherit eternal life when you leave the body. But ultimately, the body itself will be transformed. You will return back to life and light everlasting. And you won't even go through the death process pretty soon. So we never, never, never implant, ever. There's never any coercive devices. We honor free will. We abide, like Star Trek, with the prime directive of non-interference with free will. We promote self-realization, self-knowledge, self-governance, self-enlightenment, self-sourcing. You go within. You know, we never tell you to go without and follow anybody in the outer form. It's always an inner process through the Holy Spirit. In our higher levels, we have no death, no disease, and we live in total harmony within the Starfleet and upon our sacred planetary worlds, which are out of the fallen planetary dimensions. We're characterized by gentleness, kindness, goodness, harmlessness, nonviolent, and there's always a freedom, a sense of freedom and love with any kind of contact with Confederation Fleets. We're divine love, and you always feel that divine love in any interaction with us. We exist in timeless grace. We're not under the law. We're not under the time-binding spirit. And we always operate with compassion, empathy, and understanding. Even our ships are circular and beautiful. The fallen races use angular craft. They're those triangular crafts, and they're ugly. They don't look soft. They don't look beautiful. They're very yang, if you want to look at it that way. They're not that soft yin. Everything in our ships is circular and spiral and beautiful and soft and comfortable. And in these other ships, they're kind of stark and barren. Many people who've been abducted speak about that. They're kind of like being in a prison. You know, it's kind of ugly and unadorned. So, I want to speak a little bit about what my life is like coming in. I'm going to shift into a vibration that I'm going to transmit to you so that you can come into that frequency of your own knowing and remembering. I came in with a clear awareness of having come from another place other than Earth, a place where there was only love and compassion for all life, where everyone was integrated with their divine self, and their thoughts and their words and their actions were all aligned and in agreement. There was total honesty and total integrity. The word honesty means to be one with or one est. And the word integrity comes from being integrated, integer, in alignment with your divine integer or the divine indweller. So I was very, very sensitive that people here didn't seem to have a match between what they said, what they thought, what they did, and their aura. Everything was saying, conveying different information to me. And because I was fully clairvoyant and clairaudient, with a clear remembrance of my past and where I'd come from, and I knew God. Even as a child, I knew God and had that connection. So it was very strange for me being here. And where I came from, there was open friendliness and absence of every form of negativity in speech and in intent. I knew nothing of unkindness or crossness or anger or anything like that. It was totally foreign to me. So, needless to say, I was extremely sensitive, and thank heavens I had an angelic mother who protected me a great deal from people who would, shout at me and be harsh with me, because just a little bit of that was just almost unbearable for me. So I remembered that everything was manifested by thought. And it could manifest by thought because it was totally united and unified with the living word of God within our races and our people. People teleported. They flew. They had no anchoring that kept them, on a surface. They were free to move through the galaxy without anything blocking them. And we traveled sometimes just for convenience sake in Merkaba globes of light, which enabled us to arrive together in groups in a particular coordinate. But other than that, we didn't need artificial conveyances of any kind. I remember that our conveyances had auric force fields around them and never crashed. So crashes upon Earth were very scary when I rode in cars. We only drank a liquid like nectar. In fact, the first time I tasted that on Earth was when Sai Baba materialized Amrita. And it tastes just like that, like liquid flowers. And it's got a perfume and a lovely scent to it. And, of course, we can mock up food if we want to. And, sometimes we're free. We do whatever we want, but we don't need to eat like you do on Earth. When I was a child, I would go through phases where I would only drink orange juice, and I was very much afraid of choking. So getting me to eat anything solid was, just really, really difficult for my parents. We have no death where I come from. When we want to change form, we step into what's called a Moxon flame or an ascension flame. And within that flame, you can transfigure and re-articulate in another dimensional existence, if you so wish. Reinvent yourself, if you will. There's no disease. We have no defense systems whatsoever. We don't need them. We have no fear. Everyone is telepathic, including animals, and all converse lovingly and freely. We don't eat animals. We're entirely vegetarian. There's no harmful intent anywhere within us at those levels. So I was brought here on this earth to my family in a light ship, and it left, and I saw my spiritual family, my star family, leave me. And it was a terrible feeling. And then they would come at night, and they would walk through the walls of my bedroom from the time I was about 5, 6, 7 years old, maybe up till I was 8, and they would take me with them. And then it would be usually blocked from my mind so that I could get on with my life down here. But I had a knowing and a remembrance of being with my family at those times. So I would cry just terribly when I'd have to come back here. And I really liked to have, I liked to be alone because I knew they would come and I could be with them. So I was a grown conscious soul in a child's body, and I could read people as if they were turned inside out, which was kind of excruciating because you know, I could really see where people were coming from and how confused and lacking in awareness and love most of them were. Where I come from, there is no animal body type of copulation. We don't have intercourse like you have here. Twin flames join in meditation, and a conscious entity is birthed through their combined essences, not as a baby, but as a smaller adult, about like a 10-year-old, but wiser. And this is going to be the norm after the Earth changes into the higher density version. We will have children come in about the age of 10, like we do in the higher world systems. So the way we learn, the way we're educated, we learn by full energy immersion in holodeck-like environments of the given subject that we want to experience. So we live in it and absorb it almost by osmosis. And when you want to study history, you enter into the historical time cell itself. We go into like a time machine, if you will, and we enter into that historical period. We immerse ourselves in it, in that particular place on the timeline, and up close and personal, we experience that historical period. And of course, if we have holograms in that, which we no doubt do, we can learn from them. That way you can meet yourself coming and going, so to speak. You can visit yourself in the past, and you can project and visit yourself in the future. There's no limit, because everything happens in the eternal now. So you don't have to wait to experience your future, and you don't have to go into the past necessarily to experience your past. You just move your awareness into that time cell and you have a look. So we eat color and we breathe electricity, which isn't actually the word. We breathe God. We eat God, we breathe God. We eat God as color. We breathe God as light itself and as the divine harmonic spectrum itself. We actually consume. We're God eaters. It's called the Eshwar Kaniwali in Gurmukhi, which actually means the ones who eat God. I know it sounds strange. That's what Jesus meant when he said to eat his flesh, which is the bread of life, and to drink his blood, which is his life essence. He was actually saying, be Eshwar Kanuwalis, eat God, be God-eaters, God-breathers. I was actually in an interview with Sai Baba and a woman who was an alcoholic, and she was asking Sai Baba to help her overcome her alcoholism. And he turned to her and he said, eat God, drink God, breathe God, be God, you are divine. And that really stuck in my mind. So at that level, our body is like liquid crystal. It's totally malleable. It can be transformed into infinite and ever more beautiful manifestations. We're totally free to move in any way that we wish. Love and joy and harmony, ecstasy and serenity are the norms for us. And creative expansion. And you fly by thought and intention. And you live in the place of your loving. So wherever your heart is, there you are. And you're free. You're as free as a butterfly, as a thistle down, as a feather in the wind. There's no aging. There's eternal beauty. And you are whole. And every one of your beloved othernesses are with you, united in wholeness. It's like Ashtar and I are one unified wholeness. We're one being in manifestation. We're one essence. So Ashtar and I exist beyond all pairs of opposites. We're not bound by polarization or otherness. And neither are you in the joining of your other wholeness. You're one spirit being. We live above duality and polarity in trinitized energy, which you know here as grace or Christ consciousness or the unified field. We exist in the future, in gardens, sacred sanctuaries of eternal life. We are of the tree of life eternal. We have entered the way of resurrection life eternal. And we're introducing earth. We're introducing earth to this infinite way that was opened by our most radiant one, Sananda Emmanuel Kumara, Jesus the Christ. So we are of the essence. We are birthed from these same rays and radiance as the most radiant one. We have come to earth in a way as the promise of securing your future. So we are actually the promise and the securing of your future in this infinite way. Ones of earth will enter into this radiant way, following the same radiance, by entering into the light of the living word of God, as individual notes sung in one resounding cosmic chord. You are God's song of love, returning home as a celestial anthem of divine adoration. You are immortal. You are divine. You are eternal love. You are the light of God's heart. You are God's beloved. You are God's only begotten Son. You are God's betrothed. You are entering the bridal chamber now. Hush, beloveds. Watch. Your lover, your divine wholeness, is coming for you. And he's coming now. So we'll close with singing Adonai Melech Mashiach. Adonai Melech Mashiach. Adonai Melech Mashiach. Our Lord, our King, Messiah. Our Lord, our King, Messiah. God bless you, beloveds, and know that in highest truth you have never left the heart of God. Remain you still in perfect innocence and peace as God created you. God willing, I will be with you next week. Adonai.